So what is 5G? Well, it is considered to be the fifth generation of mobile internet connectivity. And again, they're promising much faster data download speeds and data upload speeds. But they're also promising wider coverage and more stable connections. It's all about making better use of the radio spectrum and enabling far more devices to access the mobile internet at the same time. So, that being the case, what can we expect? Well, Ian Fogg from OpenSignal says that whatever we do now with our smartphones, we'll be able to do faster and better. So, one of the things that he says is, think of smart glasses featuring augmented reality, mobile virtual reality, much higher quality video, the Internet of Things making cities smarter. But what's really exciting is all the new services that will be built that they cannot foresee, is what he's telling us. The new services that they do not yet foresee. Imagine swarms of drones cooperating to carry out search and rescue missions, fire assessments, and traffic monitoring, all communicating wirelessly with each other, and ground-based stations over 5G networks. Similarly, there are people who think that 5G will be crucial for autonomous vehicles to communicate with each other and read live map and traffic data. How many of you really, really get a kick out of using your electronic maps, your digital maps, your technological maps, whether Garmin or the one that is built in, the system that may be built into your cars? Have you found those to be very, very convenient? Have you found most of them to be accurate, at least for the most part? Well, reportedly, 5G is going to take that up a notch. But not just people who use the maps. We talked about some of the potential uses. I know some of you are not particularly excited about autonomous vehicles, but that's on the horizon. 5G is going to make it easier for these autonomous vehicles to talk to each other. Mobile gamers should notice less delay or latency. Remember, request response time, latency. Less delay when pressing a button on a controller and seeing the effect on the screen. Mobile videos should be near instantaneous and glitch-free. Video calls should become clearer and less jerky. Wearable fitness devices could monitor your health in real time, alerting doctors as soon as any emergency arises. So how does it work? I guess you see some serious benefits to this, right? And I guess this is just the way it's going to be. We see tremendous benefits, but we also have some concerns. But let's just move on. Alerting doctors as soon as any emergency arises. We are coming a long way from having the button that could be pushed to alert someone know that, you know, the senior citizen could push to let someone know that they had fallen and needed help. They're taking that a whole nother level, maybe several more levels. Well, there are a number of new technologies that are going to be likely to be applied, but standards haven't been hammered out yet for all the 5G protocols. Higher frequency bands, 3.5 gigahertz to 26 gigahertz and beyond, have a lot of capacity, but check this, they have shorter wavelengths. So that means that although they will have much more capacity, they will have lower ranges. And they're more easily blocked by physical objects. So we may see clusters of smaller phone masts closer to the ground, transmitting what are called millimeter waves between much higher numbers of transmitters and receivers. That will enable higher density of usage. But It's expensive. And telecoms companies aren't wholly committed yet. So if we're going to have all those disadvantages involved with the process, is it even worth it to leave 4G? Could we just stay where we are? Well, let's take a look at some of the differences, more specific differences between 5G and 4G. This 5G is a brand new radio technology, but you might not notice vastly higher speeds at first because 5G is likely to be used by network operators initially as a way to boost capacity on existing 4G. By the way, some of you have probably seen on your phones the letters LTE. LTE. That stands for long-term evolution. Long-term evolution. So existing 4G LTE networks, they want to boost the capacity of those to ensure a more consistent service for customers. The speed you get will depend on which spectrum band the operator runs the 5G technology on and how much your carrier has invested in new masts and transmitters. Are prices going to go up for us? Just asking. So how fast could it be? Well, the fastest current 4G mobile networks offer about 45 megabits per second on average, although the industry is still hopeful of achieving 1 gigabit per second, which is the equivalent of 1,000 megabits per second. Chipmaker Qualcomm reckons that 5G could achieve browsing and download speeds, again, about 10 to 20 times faster in the real world as opposed to laboratory conditions. And this is for 5G networks built alongside existing 4G LTE networks. Standalone 5G networks, on the other hand, operating within very high frequencies, such as 30 gigahertz, could easily achieve gigabit plus browsing speeds as standard. But these aren't likely to come in until a few years later. The world is going mobile, and we're consuming more data every year, particularly as the popularity of video and music streaming increases. How many of you find yourselves really checking out video and music, streaming video, streaming music, even on your smartphones? I know a lot of you are listening to more and more programming, such as talk shows online. And one thing's for sure, when we're listening and or watching the programming, we want as few interruptions as possible. Doesn't it get a little irritating sometimes when you're trying to listen to something? I mean, you really are enjoying it. All of a sudden, it starts buffering. It just stops playing and starts buffering again. Okay. So they're saying there's a good chance that 5G will resolve those problems. One of the things that they say, too, is that 5G is much better at handling thousands of devices simultaneously, from mobiles to equipment sensors, video cameras, to smart streetlights. So sounds pretty good, you know, for the most part. When will it be here? Well, most countries are unlikely to launch 5G services before 2020. But Qatar's Ooredoo says that it already has already launched a commercial service, while South Korea is aiming to launch next year, with its three largest network operators agreeing to kick off at the same time. China is racing to launch services in 2019, which will be here before we know it. That is just around the corner. Meanwhile, regulators around the world have been busy auctioning off spectrum to telecoms companies who've been experimenting with new mobile phone makers on new services. So, mobile phone makers, new services, we talked about how there are going to be changes. Well, will one of those changes mean getting a new phone? And the answer is eventually yes. But when 4G was introduced in 2009, 2010, compatible smartphones came onto the market before the infrastructure had been rolled out fully, leading to some frustration among consumers who felt that they were paying more in subscriptions, but only getting a patchy service. This time, according to Ian Fogg, phone makers are unlikely to make that mistake, launching 5G handsets only when the new networks are ready. And he's thinking that's, probably going to be towards the end of 2019. These next generation phones are going to be able to switch seamlessly between 4G and 5G networks for a more stable service. So that being the case, what about the fixed line services? How many of you still use phones on fixed lines? Well, with all this benefit coming as a result of 5G networks, will we be getting rid of fixed line services? The experts are saying at this point, no. Telecoms companies have invested too much in fiber optic and copper wire fixed line broadband to give those up in a hurry. Domestic and office broadband services will be primarily fixed line for many years to come, although so-called fixed wireless access will be made available in tandem. Fixed wireless access. However good wireless connectivity becomes, many prefer the stability and certainty of physical wires. How many of you prefer using physical wires? And what is the, what's behind your preferring, your preference of the physical wires? I know some people say that it's a little more difficult to track people, etc., if they're using physical lines as opposed to wireless connectivity. What is your purpose for preferring? Remember now, they're saying that the stability of physical wires is greater than wireless connectivity, and the certainty is greater. So think of 5G mobile as a complimentary service for when we're out and about, interacting with the world around us. It will also facilitate the much heralded Internet of Things. How many of you have been hearing a lot about that? The Internet of Things. Well, one of the big problems with our technology so far has been that where people are really having a difficult time really connecting because of where they live. For example, rural areas where there isn't nearly as much connectivity as there is in the suburbs, even in the cities. And so one of the big questions is, will the 5G mobile work in rural areas? Lack of signal and low data speeds in rural areas is a common complaint, but not only in the US of A, but also the UK and many other countries. But 5G won't necessarily address that issue, since it's going to be operating on high frequency bands, at least to start with. They have a lot of capacity, but again, cover shorter distances. So 5G will primarily be an urban service for densely populated areas. I do recall some months ago reading that there are some people, technology experts, who are in the process of developing technology that will enable signals to be sent from those areas of any given territory that are connected to the internet, and they're coming up with some equipment that will allow the signals that are transmitted to those areas to be also then relayed to rural areas. We'll see how that's going to shake out in the future, but that's one thing for those of you in the rural areas to keep in mind, although I know, again, that may be a bit concerning. How exactly is that going to work? Whose signals will be picked up, and how and why and how long, with or without their knowledge? What exactly will be relayed? Okay, just asking. Lower frequency bands, typically 600 to 800 megahertz, are better over longer distances. The lower frequency bands are better over longer distances. So network operators will concentrate on improving their 4G LTE coverage in parallel with the 5G rollout. But commercial reality means that for some people in very remote areas, connectivity, it's going to work like this. It will still be patchy at best without government subsidies, making it worthwhile for network operators to go to these places. Stay tuned. More on Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. in just a few.